the Good News Station.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. The investigation into the derailed Amtrak train continues. The death toll is now at 7. Passenger Jeffrey Cutler says the train seemed to fly off the tracks.
To me, it felt like it was taking off. It went into the air, went around the curve. The speed around the curve sort of pushed the train off the track.
And a midshipman was among those killed, according to Navy Secretary Ray Mabus.
I want to take a moment to honor the memory of Midshipman Third Class Justin Zimzer that we lost last night.
Meanwhile, Philadelphia police officers say the train's engineer has declined to provide a statement to investigators, but authorities say the recovered data recorder should help answer some questions.
The event recorders themselves can give you information about the speed of the train, any brake application.
That was National Transportation Safety Board spokesman Robert Sumwalt. This is USA Headline News.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. GatorSecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
USA Christian News. It may be decades the work will have to be continued in Nepal, but many Christian organizations have made a pledge to have people there as long as it takes. The April 25th earthquake that shook Nepal left more than 8,000 dead, with more than 16,000 injured. Samaritan's Purse is one of the Christian relief organizations there in Nepal. Franklin Graham of Samaritan's Purse says, "We intend to do everything we can to help these people both physically and emotionally in the time ahead." I spoke to Chris Taves of Samaritan's Purse about the staff support the Christian ministry has there in Nepal.
We've got good systems to take care of our staff on the ground. That we've got some main bases in Kathmandu and then some forward operating bases up in the mountains where we're going to be doing a lot of our distributions close to the affected populations. What we hear right now is that they're getting their basics. They've got a roof over their head and they're getting a couple meals a day.
For the USA Radio Network, I'm John Clemens.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded woman's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
And it's about choice and it's about opportunity.
Mr. Cuomo has called on lawmakers in Albany to pass the measure this year. It would also give public school teachers a tax credit of up to $200 a year for classroom supplies. I'm John Clemens.
Protests broke out in Madison, Wisconsin last night and earlier today following the decision by prosecutors not to charge Officer Matt Kinney in the death of Tony Robinson. The incident occurred in March when 19-year-old Robinson, who is biracial, was shot by the officer who was responding to reports that he was jumping in front of cars and assaulting people. New York City police say they have shot and critically wounded a man who was swinging a hammer at an officer in Midtown Manhattan. They say the suspect was wanted in 4 hammer attacks earlier in the week. Police officials say the officer fired 4 times when the man tried to assault his partner. 2 of the shots hit the suspect. Both officers are being treated at a hospital and their injuries are not serious. I'm Kelly Sloan and you're listening to USA Headline News.
Good news and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Connie, is that true? Come on, Connie, you can talk. I want to hear you talk. Connie's,
we're on,
right? You got to lean forward and talk into your, you can't.
I can't.
You're not Tom?
I'm not Tom.
You're excellent, though. Connie's our producer today because Tom has taken his wife to the doctor, right? Pastor Tom. So I can't pick on him, but I can pick on Connie. But Connie, she refuses to talk when we have her on the radio. Is that true, Connie?
That's true.
Connie, I can't hear you.
I said, That's true.
But you talk a little, right? You'll talk a little, Connie? Come on. Big words. Here we go. No, she...
No words. She's shy.
She's not going to...
She's shy.
I don't know. She's smarter than Pastor Tom because we always get him to say things, you know. We got him. You know that. Hey, this is the Team Martech Hour, and what happened is, those of you that haven't listened to us, I know we're on Christian radio, and this doesn't sound like normal stuff, and it's not. Now, that doesn't mean we're not Christians, but one of the things we do, we are a group of local professionals that refuse to not have fun. So what we do is this. I'm sitting across from Vince Rizzino, CPA, forensic CPA, used to be a college professor, but not at Columbia.
Not at Columbia.
At a different college. And what happened is many, many years ago, prior to 2004, I'm a financial advisor called a stockbroker, a securities principal, lots of licenses. I decided to start doing these radio shows because if you're a credible professional, you find other credible professionals that you align yourself with. And that doesn't mean we share commissions, which we don't. We don't share fees. We don't share office space. Nobody works for one another. But the game plan was, let me find a group of 4, 5, 6 extremely credentialed local professionals that weren't new in business. Now, the new in business part was an important part to me because usually people, if they're new in business, they're going to make more mistakes than a person that is old in business. And forgive me for saying that, but all of us have been young, except you people out there that are young. But us old guys. And when you think about life and when you made your most mistakes, part of growing up is making mistakes. And I think it's Dan Warren that says old age is just an accumulation of mistakes. And you learn from these things. And in theory, you're going to make less mistakes as you get older. So what I wanted was a group of professionals that had much experience and that were all here local and all in business for a long time. So 2004... three, whenever it was, we started doing the radio shows, and it was Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, and that became an important word. Independent, meaning he didn't work for one insurance company. He worked for the client. The client comes in and says, hey, I've got a home, and it lives over here, and here's the address. He then could go to 10 or 15 companies or 20 and say, okay, here's the best I can do for you. But if that person worked for one insurance company, all he could do is go to one. So independent was critical. And it wasn't just the homeowners. It was cars and businesses and every type of insurance. So Dan, in my opinion, if he's not the best guy in the neighborhood, he ranks in the top 5 or 10 people on the whole Treasure Coast. He's only 35 years in business and has just done a phenomenal job for a whole bunch of my clients. Every time I refer somebody to him, I feel very, very, very comfortable. Second member of the group was Greg Fasula, attorney. Now, that became an important word because one of the first things I do when I meet a new prospect or suspect is say, are you ready to die? Now, understand, there's a couple of different answers, but I'm concerned about not you and God. I'm concerned, even though I'm not concerned, I am concerned, but I am more concerned at this moment talking about your financial readiness, meaning do you have a will or a trust? And if you don't, I consider it one of my responsibilities as a credible financial advisor to stir the pot and to get you thinking about, let's do this. So I needed to have an attorney that was user-friendly. Now, folks, I know the word attorney and user-friendly just doesn't seem to rhyme.
That's synonymous.
Oh, you know, boy, it doesn't. Greg Fasula happens to be maybe the only attorney I know personally that is user-friendly. He's not pretentious. He's not arrogant. He's a good listener. He's all the things that we don't take for granted when we say the word attorney, but he's just a really good guy. So then Vince Rizzino, CPA. Well, I had to have a CPA. Why? And I didn't want just a regular old tax returner or person. And that doesn't mean they're not good, but I wanted somebody that had credentials, that had put in their time and had done the education, plus been in business for a long time. So Vince, what are you, 104 years old?
98.
You look 100.
98. And I'm lucky I look that young.
Yeah, boy, you're not kidding. After tax season's over now, you should be rested.
Well, now I'm decompressing.
Decompressing,
yeah. Yeah, it took about a month.
You see what happens, Vince, how many years now are you a CPA?
Oh, about 35, 36 years.
Yeah, yeah. Like see, you are old, I'm telling
you. Yeah, hey, listen, but it comes with experience.
Well, you know, it's hard to get experience without age, isn't it?
Exactly. I don't know how you do that otherwise.
It's pretty tough. You know, I don't know how you do it either, but one kind of flows with the other.
Yes.
And a CPA was critical because the subjects of taxes and estate planning come up constantly. And probably, I would say on an average, I call Vince once a week. Even though I've been around for a long, long time, invariably something comes up that I don't know the answer to. It just seems like it's a miracle. I said this to my girl, Nikki, who runs my office. I said, this business starts off easy and gets more complicated the longer you're in it. And it's how many pages in the tax code, Vin?
Only 75,000.
75,000 pages. Uh-huh. You got them all memorized,
right? I have them memorized. With the scanners these days, it's easier.
I will tell you. The point is, things change. And as soon as we got it figured out, next year comes along and they change the rules.
Change it. Yeah, they change them all the time, Joe.
So
that's called the Accountants and Lawyers Retirement Act.
Which means no matter what they do, you know, and I've given up even trying to think that they'll ever change the tax code because it's just never, well, forget the word never. The odds are extremely good. It's not going to happen.
They always modify and tweak and on the edges.
They're just never going to.
The last time we had a wholesale change was in 1986.
Yeah, when they basically changed the whole depreciation.
They changed everything on depreciation. Right. There was a lot of abuses going on. So they made massive changes.
Yep.
But since then, they've just been tackling, you know, this, then that, and the other thing.
And then there's Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, who I've only known since 1980, who happens to be probably the hardest working person, period, in any industry alive. And one of the most knowledgeable, but absolutely the most highest integrity, honest person. You couldn't get this girl to lie if you tried. She only operates with the truth. So you want to know something about real estate, she's it. And then hand in glove with her is the last member, newest member of the team, 2, 3, 4 years now, whatever it is, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, because the mortgage business changes every day also, constantly. So it's always changing. So literally what happens is when you hear stuff or you read it on the radio or TV that says you can't do this, you can't do that, Mike's got programs with, hey, USDA, no money down.
Yeah, I know. Some really interesting
VA
stuff.
No money down. FHA, 3.5% down. Rules constantly change in that business, making life simpler all the time. In the meantime, Vince Rizzino, CPA, Joe Martek, financial advisor, are here. We're here to help. We're here to answer any questions. Phone number here is 1-888-221-8990. That's toll free, 888-221-8990. Anytime we can answer or help people under any circumstances, that's what we're here to do. 888-221-8990. And I was talking to Vince just before the show started that I met with a magnificent young lady. And you know, a lot of things we take for granted because we're in the business. But, you know, sometimes it pays to get back to basics and back to education. Like, I was thinking this today. First of all, I thought there was two kinds of stock, but really there's three, and there might be more. Stay with me for a minute. There's common stock. There is non-tradable stock. There's tradable stock. There are stock exchange stocks, right? Come on, help me here now.
From a purely corporate legal standpoint,
it's all stock.
It's the only common or preferred are the only two that I know of. And there's different variations like convertible, preferred,
okay,
and so on.
So let's just stay with common stock. So I was telling this young lady today, and I said, okay, so you have some common stock. And she said, what's that? And I said, well, okay, common stock, normally when you see it in a portfolio, it's easily tradable because it's probably listed on the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ or another exchange. What's that mean? That means I can call my broker up and say, sell it right now, and within just a few minutes, it can be sold. Or I can do the same thing and buy it. Common stock simply means that company, and let's just use a great big company, if one of the best known names in the world, whether it's Ford Motor Company or General Motors, they got millions and millions of shares out there. But those companies are basically owned by the stock owners. So you may own 1,000 shares and there might be 10 million or 100 million shares out. So you own a little sliver of that company. But literally, you're an owner. So
right,
the owners control the company. So what happens is they have voting privileges. And every year they have elections, or not maybe every year, but every so often they have elections. And they're going to elect board of directors or whatever it may be. And they're given powers. And you can vote. And the more shares you have, the more power you have in vote. So common stock that is tradable on the New York Stock Exchange, most people can buy it today, sell it today, buy it tomorrow, whatever. It's very, very liquid.
Mm-hmm.
Non-tradable stock, the example that I gave was, let's say Vince and I decide to start a company. And I don't care what company it is, we're going to sell widgets. And we say, okay, Joe, you put up $1,000, I'll put up $1,000. Vince tells me, and you'll be 50-50 partners. We'll issue 100 shares of stock, and Vince gets 50 and I get 50, and we start this company. But then we rapidly find out we don't have enough money. We're working, things are looking good, but that $1,000 is gone in the first hour. So we now go to Vince's new son-in-law, who's got a good job, and we hope he's saving some money because we need $10,000. So Vince and I say, look, here's what. I own 50%, you own 50%. Let's give him 25% of the stock to be a partner with us. So that'll cut 12.5% out of you, 12.5% out of me, and he becomes a partner. So we are not quite equal partners, but now we have three.
Right.
Then he comes up and he says, I'm going to have to sell half of my shares to my other brother, because I don't have the whole 10 grand. So he divides his shares in half, and now we have four partners. Well, it's all common stock, mm-hmm. and we are all owners of the company, and there's still 100 shares in that company. But all of a sudden, the company starts cranking and getting bigger. And we say, let's go public. And we get one of these great big firms to come up and say, okay, we're going to raise $10 million, or like Facebook when it came out, it raised, I don't know, hundreds of millions of dollars. Crazy numbers. And we issue millions of shares of stock, let's say, or hundreds of thousands of shares of stock. And we may end up owning 1% of the company, or maybe even less, because we raise all of this money to make this company grow. But now we're traded on a stock exchange, New York Stock Exchange, the NASDAQ, whoever agrees to issue this thing. So when you're a public company, not a private company now, you work for that company, just like any other employee, even though you own shares in it, and you can be voted out, voted in. You got all kinds of stuff that can happen to you because it's based on the vote of the shareholders. Now, is that pretty fair?
I think that's a fair depiction, Joe.
What I'm trying to do.
Common is basically common. It means it's, and if it's tradable, it's on an exchange.
Right.
You get in, you get out, but you do have powers, like you say. You have, mostly it's the voting power.
Right.
And you'll get a statement every year. You'll get a quarterly, you'll get an annual report.
Right. From the company.
You might get a copy of their 10-K.
Right.
And you might get these, what they call proxy materials, which is basically describes what's on the agenda for the board at their annual meeting, and you get to vote.
And you actually have the opportunity to go to that meeting if you're a stock owner, but say the meeting might be in Hawaii if we have any intelligence, and we'll get the company to pay for our trip out there. It may not pay for the rest of them, and we may get fired too for doing that. But point is, Now that common stock, once a year they have an annual meeting and they'll put a budget together. They do all kinds of stuff. But the shareholders, as a group, are in charge of what happens to that company. And they elect a board of directors who then has certain powers and authorities. Anyway, it gets more complicated the higher up you go, this chain. But that's how stock literally, I mean, I'm just giving you the broad. This is not
the basics. That's just a primer on
just the basics
on corporate ownership.
Now, here was another question I had. Well, the other day I said, everything I do or I try to do is tradable, meaning I like things that are liquid. I don't like something that you buy and you're stuck with. In fact, I've got a caller today that I'm going to see next week that it says I'm something I'm stuck with. And I said, well, and he doesn't understand how he got stuck with it, so he may have been. Let's just say he wasn't told the whole story or he forgot the story, because sometimes you can buy something that is not traded on the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ or one of the stock exchanges. So you may not be able to quickly sell it. And how do you sell it? Well, you got to find a buyer. Is that easy? Not necessarily. Especially, let's say you bought it at $10 a share and now it's worth $5 a share because the company is not doing well and nobody really wants it. So it can be a problem. So literally, what I try to do for my clients under almost all circumstances is to stay with something that is easily traded, meaning on a New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ. And I had a fellow this week, and he says, Joe, what if nobody wants it? And I says, well, here's what happens. When you have the power of the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ, you don't get on there. That exchange gives you that right and authority to be able to sell that within a very fast period of time. So being on the major stock exchanges gives you liquidity. So that was an important part to me.
Still doesn't answer that question, is what if nobody wants to buy it? Well, usually the market takes care of that.
There you go.
If there aren't enough demand for the stock, then
price goes down.
Price goes down until right. You get to that equilibrium, which we never reach. But
I know. You know. But the key is this. When it's traded on a stock exchange, the equilibrium, the price of the shares, that gives you the opportunity to buy and sell them, because it has the ability to take care of itself. And I think that's one of the main strengths of, quote, the major stock exchanges, that they offer, they give you that liquidity.
Anyway. And that's opposed to, Joe, is the other side, is when you have privately issued shares. Like, you've got a lot of private owner-managed companies out there.
Yeah, right.
In this area here in particular, there's an awful lot of them. What does that mean? So somebody comes in and they either buy into these companies or they earn the right to option them. What happens if they want to sell? Sometimes it's not that easy to sell. So you own these private companies and you're not a majority owner.
No.
You're a minority.
Yeah.
That's why when you go to value these companies, those shares are usually discounted because of their lack of marketability.
So back again, Vince and I started this company. We put up $500 or $1,000 a piece. We own it 50-50. I go to Vince and I say, okay, Vince, I want to buy you out. And Vince says, no. Well, then guess what? I can't buy them out. Vince says, how much? And I said, I'll give you $1,001. He goes, no, no, no. Make it more. And I'll say, how much? And he says, $25,000. I said, Vince, pack sand. And he'll say, okay. And we stay partners. So what happens is, when it's not a publicly traded thing, you have a negotiated sale.
Right.
Because sometimes it's private.
And sometimes the owner, a majority, has a first right of preference, or to buy it. In other words, you have to sell it to the majority. Or they might say, we have to approve who you're going to sell it to.
There's all kinds of things that can be put into this document at the beginning. And that's why one of the things that we talk about here is education. If you're going to start a new business, a lot of the questions people don't even know to ask. And one of the things, by meeting with a CPA or a financial advisor or both or either, can get you on the right road to get to a conclusion. Because we've had circumstances where people will come up and say, hey, this sure looks good. And then what they're looking through is what we call jaundiced eyes, where they are a bit clouded over because of emotions. But if I look at it, or especially if Vince looks at it as a CPA, he's going to look at the numbers, prove the numbers to me, make sure these are all legitimate. We've had a couple of occasions where Vince has looked at it and says, well, under the circumstances, the way the numbers are, you're going to need a couple $100,000 each year losing money to make this thing stay alive. Are you willing to put in a couple $100,000 a year for the next couple of years to get it off the dime? No guarantee it's going to get off the dime. People say, whoa, that isn't what I was told. So sometimes that third party on the outside that is going to look at it not with clouded or rose-colored glasses.
Very funny, too, because I had a situation this morning. I went out to meet a client, and they were having some downturn in their business, and they were looking for ways to improve. And so when I got through, he turned to me and he said, not only did I hear you, but I understood you. And he said, but by the way, did you have a degree in psychology, too?
Well, one of the things when you look somebody in the eye and say, hey, you're in deep trouble, without saying that, you've got to be gentle and say, you know, we got to come up with a plan here that's going to make this thing work. Let's give it some thought. Same thing as saying you're in deep trouble.
Right.
So and how you phrase it.
It's how you phrase it and getting them to get the point without hitting them on the head with a hammer, you know.
Some people, you do have to get their attention with that board first.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah. Have you ever watched the program The Prophet on
TV?
Yes,
I do. I like that show.
And I like how he comes up, and he has nailed a few people pretty hard to get them straightened out.
But what I like about him is, and I like the show, because he's not just a pure, by-the-book businessman.
No.
I mean, he's got a heart. And
he looks at
the
emotions.
He believes in the people. He looks at the people, and evaluates them based on them, the character of the people.
Well, we all know this. If you deal with good people, honorable people, people with integrity, it makes life much, much simpler.
Mm-hmm.
We both know the longer you're in business, the handshake becomes critical. You put a contract together so you can take care of the memory. But the bottom line is, if you have an honorable person and that's Lemonis, is one of his thing on The Prophet is the handshake. When he shakes their hand, he says, my word is my bond.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And that's the old system.
And how many of them, if you recall, if you watch that show, a lot of them have shaken his hand, and then they've reneged.
Yeah. Then he come up and said, okay. And he said, no.
But, and then, because he's even had to sue them. I'm very always interested in how he gets back his investment. Because he sues them, but I don't know how, you know, the ultimate outcomes and how he does
normally
it.
Normally they don't show that next part of the show, you know, the whole downside of it. But here's the reality. Part of understanding our group are a bunch of local professionals, all here locally, that have been in business a long time, that are here to help people. 1-888-221-8990. So 888-221-8990. So if you have any questions to do with taxes, businesses, how to get started, licensing, there's just a myriad of questions you can come up with. This is a good time to ask them.
Well, take, for example, Joe, the follow-on to the stock we talked about.
Yeah.
There's issues that come up tax-wise. So when somebody gets the stock from these companies, if you didn't pay for it, for example, what if you earned it?
Uh-huh.
How is it taxed?
Uh-huh.
And there comes into valuation. What is it worth? You discount minority shares and so on. There's a compensation element there, and you determine what the compensation is, and that becomes your taxable income for that stock.
Of course.
And becomes your tax basis for that stock. So there's all kinds of related things tax-wise to how you value these stocks. It's easy when it's publicly traded.
Yes.
Because there's a market.
Exactly.
And when you have a private sale, there's not a market. So that leaves a lot of room there. And it comes to play with your estate planning as well, Joe. If you got a company and you put it into your estate, you put it in a trust, you know, at some point you need to evaluate it for estate tax purposes.
We got a couple of major things that happen. Like Vince said, if it's publicly traded, we have a share price that's published every single hour, every day when the market's open. So that's the value of it the day you get it. And you have a pretty easy record. But if I buy into Vince's company that sells widgets, and Vince says, okay, Joe, because you're a good guy, you put up $10,000, but I'm going to give you $100,000 worth of stock because you're a good guy, and for whatever reason you would do that. Well, all of a sudden, tax-wise, I may have a different situation down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So how things are documented and set up at the beginning can be very, very important in the long run, not only for you, but for your heirs.
Absolutely.
So you've got to back again. To put the cart and the horse in the right direction are somewhat important.
And it's just looking at the bigger picture, Joe, and that you talk about, you know, understanding what stock is to start with, but then understand the implications of it. When you own it, what happens to it? Is it taxed? When is it taxed?
Yep.
And how does it play into your estate planning?
You know, here was an interesting one that I had. father, three daughters. He's alive, and he gives each one of the three daughters $250,000 each worth of stock.
Mm-hmm.
And the daughters aren't really going to sell it. They're just going to take it now. So I said to him, I says, really, you shouldn't do that. Because what happens is now they're getting that stock and the cost basis is what you paid for it. So you might have bought it 10 or 20 years ago for $10 a share. Now it's worth $100. So if they sell it, they're going to have to pay tax on that $90 gain. On the other hand, if you'd have put that in a trust and when you die, they inherit it, it's based on the value on the day you die. So back to this, it's now worth $100 a share, not $10, and the people inherit it at $100 a share. So they sell it tomorrow for $101 a share. They only pay tax on $1. And I tell you what, I tried so hard. In fact, I got mad at the broker, called him up for not advising. And this was a pretty high-level broker. And they said, we do not give tax advice. And I says, you know, that's almost a sin. At least you could say they should have talked to a CPA before he made that decision. You didn't have to give tax advice, but you should have advised your client.
I had the same situation this year, a couple of tax people. The mother gifted the house to the three daughters.
Oh.
Gifted the house.
Before she died.
Before she died.
Right.
And then, of course, the mom, and she's there. She's living there. She's got a life estate. Well, what happens? Then she dies, and now they go to sell it. This is a house that was like 30 or 40 years in the family. So they paid $17,000 for the house.
Now it's worth $500,000.
Like, you know, it wasn't that much. It was like $100,000. But regardless, you know, they look at it, well, basically most of what they got of the proceeds was all taxed as ordinary income.
The key was,
capital gains, actually.
If mom had died and left him the house in a trust or willed it, there'd been no tax consequence.
It would be valued at the date of death, or it would be valued 6 months later.
Yeah,
if it was, you know, lower. So
the whole consequence is estate planning. A lot of things are pretty simple that we take for granted, but a lot of people don't think about it. One of my favorite ones is a parent puts one of their children on their bank account.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, how much money do you have in that bank account? I say, well, I've got $100,000. I says, you know, are you ready to lose that $100,000? Why? Well, what if your child gets sued? That money's gone. And I have actually seen it happen.
Mm-hmm. I believe that.
And it's a very sad thing. I say, hey, go down to the bank, and instead of having them be a signer, put on a what's called a TOD, transfer on death. Or you can put it up in a trust. And it does the same thing. It's not going to go through probate. That money will go straight to them. But in the meantime, if they get sued, that money's not going to be taken away from you. And I've seen it's the same thing. People put in their house into the kids' names.
Yep.
It's no longer a homestead because the kids don't live there.
That's right. They lose that, and then you got the exposure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So
these are things they probably think they're doing a good thing. I'm giving my house away for my kids. But you can do the same thing, but in a different way. And relieve some of that tax pressure.
One of the things that's most important in this, and most people you don't think about it logically. You think, hey, I'm doing the right thing. I'm trying to help, and I'm trying to. But what you might end up doing is come back to haunt you. I'll give you one of my favorite ones. And by the way, again, 888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. And I think I told you about my $30,000 dog.
I forgot.
You did?
No, tell us about your $30,000 dog. I don't remember that.
Now, you know how people say this is a true story? That means that they're lying about everything else. So I hate to preface it with that, but this happened to me personally.
Okay.
So I'm living in Sewell's Point. I'm the happiest guy in the whole world. I got an acre and a half on the intercoastal. And the boys, young boys, teenage boys, are what I'm going to call redneck wannabes. They all wanted to have their pickup truck, you know, which I like pickup trucks. I've got one. And they had to have their pit bull dogs.
Oh, now I remember the story.
You remember the story? Yes, and that's coming back to you?
Yep.
So the kid next door, he thought he was Rambo. I mean, you know, he was, he'd go out running pigs, and him and his buddies, you know, they'd be, anyway. So one day he comes home, and he brings home this dog, which was not a pit bull. And the dog would like running with the dogs. I mean, he had a good time running and chasing. But boy, I'm going to go bite a pig. You got to be crazy. This dog says, I like pigs. I just want to chase them. So, and the redneck kid that owned this dog wanted to shoot the dog because he wasn't being a good hog dog. So he brings the dog home. Now, the mother next door said to the kid, no, you can't have that dog. Dog says, hey, looks like a nice house to me. Got a nice yard. He said, I'm going to hang out. So the dog kind of lived outdoors. Then he came over one day and knocked on my door and said, hey, I'm your I'm your new neighbor. And, you know, you look like nice people and you got this nice black lab. Can I play with him? He says, by the way, I'm hungry. So I fed him. And the dog is a lovely dog. He's a wonderful dog, the sweetest dog in the world. And he was just one happy dog hanging out, you know. So I fed him. So one day, the UPS guy comes and delivers a package to my house. And I hear a little commotion in the yard. So I open the door, and there's the UPS guy. And he says, well, it's the last time I'm coming to your house. And I said, why? What happened? He says, your dog tried to bite me, tore my pants. And I says, well, number one, it's not my dog. Number two, that dog is gone. I mean, I don't care how much this dog is nice. It's not my dog. You know, he's gone. So, month goes by. I get served a lawsuit. I'm being sued for $200,000.
Whoa.
One, the UPS guy now has permanent damage to his knee.
Ooh, baby.
And his wife sued for loss of consortium.
Oh, man.
Now, let me tell you something, folks.
How did she prove that?
Let's just skip that part because we're not going to get into that. But the bottom line was I had two different lawsuits for $100,000 each. So I think I'm laughing. This is about the stupidest thing I ever heard because the dog didn't even bite the guy. Now, technically, he said he stole, you know, his pants. And I figured, hey, this kid probably was a high school athlete and hurt his knee, and so he's got this permanent. He's going to show it on an x-ray and stuff, but I'm not paying any attention because it's stupid. It's not even my dog, right? So I don't do anything. So I get called for a deposition.
Yes.
Now, folks, those of you that don't know what a deposition is, the attorneys call you in, and they swear you in, and you're supposed to answer questions, and they write it down.
Yep. And they record it.
And they record it. So in this conversation, the attorney said, did you feed the dog? Now, they kind of snuck that in. They didn't say it real quick. And I said, of course. I said, dog came over, and he was hungry, you know, so I fed him. They said, okay. So a few months goes by. Then a year goes by. And I finally get a lawsuit, show up in court. So I hired an attorney because now it's serious.
Sure.
So my attorney called me up and he says, Joe, you're the dumbest person I've ever met. And I said, okay, I'll take that, but tell me why this time. I said, because you admitted you fed the dog. And I said, so what? He said, in Florida, feeding a dog is ownership.
Oh, cow, really?
Now, if you'd have had food sitting out and your dog's food and he came over and stole some of it, that's different than you feeding the dog, and you admitted you fed the dog.
Oh,
that boy makes you dumb as a stump.
Whoa.
And I said, gee, I'm so happy. So I said, okay, now what about this phony lawsuit? And he said, look, even if you're 100% right, your odds in the court system are about 50-50. He said, number two, if I hire expert witnesses and bring in these doctors to prove this guy isn't right, it may cost you as much as $50,000 to lose.
Mm-hmm. So now moved you towards settlement, huh?
Day before Christmas, $30,000 I settled.
Oof. So that's your $30,000 dog.
$30,000 dog, no papers.
Oh, did the dog become part of the family?
I've never met the dog again. I mean, he happened to leave that very same day, and I have no clue. Man. Now, what happened was the real owner of the dog, out of coincidental, paid their insurance company covered dogs. They settled for 10. My next door neighbor settled for 10. My homeowners did not cover dogs. Oh. Mine excluded dogs, which most of them do these days. So I had to pay out of cash. And my attorney says, Joe, you can claim poverty all you want. You're living in Sewell's Point. They aren't going to believe you for a second. $30,000 dog. Moral of the story is, if an ex-wife, no, forget that. If a dog if a dog comes to your house and wants to get fed, be very careful. Be very careful, because in Florida, feeding is ownership.
Wow.
Now, you see, if I'd had any brains at all at the time, and I was much younger, thank you, Lord, I have an excuse, which isn't very good. Because, you know, stupidity is never a good excuse. Ignorance is as good as I can get, but it's still...
And that's no excuse
either. It's still not one. You know, like the state ignorance of the law, forget it. You're getting a ticket anyway or arrested or whatever. So as my attorney said, he said, hey, Joe, you tried to save a nickel by not hiring an attorney up front. Guess what?
Cost you $30,000.
Yeah, plus I had to pay him $5,000.
Actually, you got away with something there. They usually charge more than that.
Well, the amount of time he put in, see, like he said, if we'd have gone through this whole thing, I could have lost 50 or more to lose, because paying him and expert witnesses, and they go be paid by the hour, everybody does. So anyway, what I'm trying to get at is that sometimes it pays to counsel with experts. And one of the things that anybody in our group, we'll talk to anybody over the phone, even in person, and we're not going to charge you until you hire us to do something. Like I met with a young lady that you know today, and we're not doing anything immediately. I'm going to meet with her husband, and I might even meet with the father-in-law, and take it one step at a time and make sure we're all on the same page, and there's no cost for any of this stuff, because I've got to educate them so they can become a reasonably intelligent, or maybe not the word intelligent, a reasonably informed consumer on what they're doing. And that's my job. Because what they have right now, the people that are handling it aren't telling them a thing. They don't have a clue.
Wasn't there a retail chain that you had a slogan? An educated customer is the best consumer, or the educated consumer is the best customer.
Yeah. And there was. I forget what happened. Went out of business. Yeah.
It did. I think they did, actually.
But you know,
I guess they stopped educating.
They stopped educating, right? Oh, we're just going to take advantage of like everybody else.
Right,
now, so.
Exactly.
Well, you know, one of the things that we, all of us in our group, we really try to spend time with people, educating them. You know, I've had people say, hey, don't confuse me with all the details. Here's what I want to do. I said, okay, if you don't want me to go through it all and this is what you want to do, I'll do it. But I prefer people really understanding what they're doing before they do it.
I agree. That's sort of my motto, Joe.
What?
Because I don't like it when they come to us after the fact and say, hey, look what I did.
Why didn't you tell me? My favorite ones were, say, they say, okay, Joe, I want to get this, and here's 10,000 or 20,000, pick a number. And then a year later, it went doubled up or tripled. They made all kinds of money. I said, why didn't you make me put more money in?
Can't win this deal.
You can't win. 1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. And what, you're leaving us, Connie? She refuses to talk out loud because she's afraid I'm going to put her on the radio, right? Oh, now she's whispering like I'm going to hear, but she's holding up a pretend phone.
She says she's answering the phone.
She's answering. I didn't hear anybody ring.
Not yet.
She wants
to be ready.
She wants to be ready. 1-888-221-8990. Now, in our group, again, we have a CPA, an attorney, an independent insurance agent, a realtor, a mortgage broker, and a financial advisor. So what I've tried to do with our group is pretty much cover most of the bases that I can think of from a professional standpoint of the services that you might need and have questions for. The game plan is usually how to save people money, how to make sure that they know what they're doing when it comes to investing, so that they can make more intelligent decisions. And any one of us is there to help at any time. And by the way, if you don't want to talk to us on the radio, that's what it appears like today,
yeah,
nobody's calling.
False.
Come on,
no. I mean, I'm getting lonely over here.
You know, you don't. Did, no you, calls? Did you put deodorant on today?
I actually showered this morning.
Scary.
And deodorant too.
And deodorant too. Well, you know, I wasn't sure because I'm pretty plugged up with my sinuses.
Oh, you're still plugged up. Though. I feel sorry for you.
Hey, you know, I know you do. I see the sympathy coming out of you. 1-888-221-8990. What I was leading to, which I never finished, was In case you do not want to talk to us on the radio, you can call a radio station at any time. Connie or Pastor Tom will take your name and number and have us call you back. You just tell them who you want to talk to. And if you're not sure, normally they'll give it to me and I'll talk to you a little bit and make sure we get you lined up with the right person so that we can accomplish whatever you need to do. 1-888-221-8990. So is new grandson doing good?
My grandson's doing beautifully.
Now, how old is he now?
6 months.
So is your daughter pregnant again yet?
Not yet.
Uh-huh.
But I know she's, they're probably going to have another one, but we don't know.
Only two, you think? Or what do you think?
Probably only two.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, my daughter's a little older.
So I know, but sometimes, you know, women, they want 15 or 20 of those things. Sometimes they want one, two. You never know.
Hey, whatever God gives us, we'll be happy with.
Amen. You know, that's just the way it works. 1-888-221-8990. So, words of wisdom.
Words of wisdom.
I'm looking for some, you know, direction here from one of my mentors. Which one? I forget which one you are, Vince.
I don't know. probably at different times, I'm different
yes,
things
one
to
of the,
you.
Hey, one of the above. Let me tell you what, when he gave you my tax return this year, you were a tormentor or even lower on the totem pole than that.
When I gave you the bill, I tormented you as well.
Even makes, hey, I'm liking you less and less now that I
know,
think about it.
I hear it.
Thank goodness you got a nice wife.
That's true.
Yeah.
I have to start charging for her.
Don't I understand that? 1-888-221-8990. In fact, I think my woman's going to be at your house tomorrow. I think.
That's what I heard, but I'm not.
I'm not positive on the dates. I usually hide from these things. You know.
I get that.
Yeah.
But also, just I'm getting a lot of things, Joe. A lot of people recently, and maybe they're coming to Jesus, I don't know, but they are coming to file tax returns after many, many years. I'm not.
Well, you know, we were talking about that some time ago, that a fellow came in and he had a bad, bad experience with the Internal Revenue some years ago, so he hadn't filed for the last five or six, but mm-hmm. he did pay.
Mm-hmm. So, you know what the unusual thing about it is? Right. Most of these people... And we know one mutual.
Yeah.
Wind up getting back money.
Yeah.
So they didn't file for whatever the reason was.
Right.
And now they file and they're getting thousands back. But you got to be careful with this because you got a limited time. You only got 3 years from the time you filed your tax return to actually file for the amended return to get your refund back or to file a return to get a refund.
So what if you didn't file one for 5 or 6 years?
Well, here's the thing. If you did file and there were refunds involved,
you're not going to get it.
You won't get them.
But only for 3 years will they give you that. Yeah. Well, hey, at least that's 3 years that you weren't.
But the moral of the story is file the returns.
Yeah. Well, in America, as I understand it, it's not against the law not to pay, but it is against the law not to file.
Yes.
So correct. The government wants you to file. Now, the other side of the coin is, though, there are people that are below the threshold.
Yes.
That don't even have to file.
That's correct.
So, like, if I'm a, let's just take this widow lady that's living on Social Security, and that's the only income she has, she doesn't have to file.
She doesn't have to file. No.
Now,
if that's the only income, no.
But what if she made $6,000 or $7,000 a year in pension, and no taxes were held, and she gets her Social Security, let's say another $10,000.
Yeah. Well, then that's a different scenario. Because right. once you have other than Social Security, you know, then you kick in based on age, you go to your standard deduction and your exemptions. Standard deduction might be $10,000 or $11,000
right.
for
right.
her.
Right.
Plus you have another $4,000 exemption. So you might, the first $15,000 would be sheltered.
So basically, so as long as you stay below that threshold, technically you don't have to file.
Exactly.
Now, let's just take this same person. So they're 75 years old and they make, let's say, $10,000 in Social Security, and they make $10,000 in pension. So that's mm-hmm. $20,000 total.
You have to file.
They have to file.
Right. You mm-hmm. may not owe any tax.
Right.
But you have to file.
Okay. Just because of the accumulative.
The income threshold has been exceeded with all your income.
Gotcha.
So,
because you don't have to pay tax on your Social Security, that same person, until.
No. Yeah. Until there are different.
Steps.
It's a separate calculation. Yeah. There's different steps. It depends on what your other income is.
Like if you're a single person and you have passive income, let's say of $10,000, but you make $20,000 in Social Security, there's probably no tax on your Social Security. No. You got to make, is it over 15, give or take?
Well, no, 24, I think, is the single threshold. And then it goes to 32 for
if you're married. Yeah. Because I know a few years ago, I had clients that were getting almost, well, about $50,000 a year in their pocket and didn't have to pay a dime because they had between Social Security and pension.
Social Security, and because only 85, maximum taxability is 85% on Social Security.
Yeah. Yeah,
and so you got that going. Plus, you might have your standard deduction. You have not might. You have your standard deduction, or you have your itemized deduction, yeah, whichever's higher. And then you have an exemption for yourself or your spouse.
Right,
so that could add up. That adds up pretty quickly.
So, literally, it's a situation that the tax code, even though nobody likes it, the truth is, people at the bottom end of the thing are really not paying any money at all, or very little.
Very little.
Very little. And the rule is, I guess, so statistically, they say that the top 5% pay about 80% of the taxes, which is probably not the wrong thing to do. It's probably the right thing, but nobody likes it if they're in that bracket because they're paying more than the other people.
Well, the argument is there that, you know, it's a progressive tax and you could afford it.
Yeah.
The argument against it is
it's a progressive tax, and you're being penalized for being successful.
People for being successful. Yeah. Exactly. So.
There's two. You know, there's always going
to
be
sides to this.
Yeah, there's going to be two sides, and I've worn both hats. But you know, it's also, as I say to people, you know, hey, look, we get to live in America. I mean, pick someplace else. I don't care where you want to pick. I would have a real, real hard time finding any place that even has that I would say is second fiddle. Now, maybe Canada, maybe Costa Rica.
I've heard Belize recently.
There's a lot of places.
All these places, you know. Yeah.
But I will tell you. This to live in America is
still the greatest place on earth.
It is the greatest place. So hey, we got to pay to live here. Unfortunately, 1-888-221-8990. What time is it?
Well, I've got about 9 minutes to five. So
well, you see, that's pretty good because our producer's hiding out on the other phone, so we don't pick on her.
Maybe she'd be coming in flashing us with the cards very soon.
See, what happened is Pastor Tom, for those of you that don't know, has these flip cards, and it's got 5 minutes, 10 minutes on them, and he's taught Connie how to use them.
Connie's very good at those flip
cards. Connie's pretty good at those flip cards. Are you?
Yeah. Yeah. She was trained very well.
Wait a minute. Show me how you flip them. And what's the highest number? Do we start off with, only 5 minutes?
Five minutes is the highest.
Yeah, but see, we still have like 8 or 9 minutes.
Oh, so we got 6 minutes left
on
the show.
We got 6 minutes left. Uh-huh.
Oh, so another minute you'll be flashing the card.
You'll be flashing the card. Now, what if you're late?
Then I'll just kind of.
She'll make it up on the next card. So the next one is 4 minutes.
Hey, well, what's the next one after five? Four, it is four. Have we ever seen the four before? I don't think Pastor Tom ever shows us four.
Pastor Tom flips right through that.
He goes
four.
5 to 30.
30 seconds.
One,
you're off.
888-221-8990. So let me just talk again. Anybody that's got questions when it comes to any type of investment, they want to talk stock, want to talk bonds, want to talk any type of investment that it might be.
Taxes related there too.
Yeah.
Cause.
Yeah, they're tax type things. Literally, you know, whether it's an IRA, a lot of times people say, hey, what's the rules on an IRA? What's the rules on a 401k? Like a young lady today, she's got a 401k, and I said, well, you may not be able to contribute to an IRA if you make too much money, because they have their thresholds which say to people, hey, you're allowed to do both if you make under a certain amount of money. Yeah. So the other side of the coin was, and this young lady didn't know that you can't combine IRAs. You have yours, your husband would have his. You can't have a joint IRA. You can have beneficiaries, in case you die, it goes to them. But there's no such thing as a joint.
Yep.
So just rules. So literally all these little things that we take for granted. Let me tell you something. Don't ever apologize for not knowing these questions, because the only way to learn them is somebody's got to teach you.
And I tell you, the rude awakening that a lot of people have, Joe, is when they need the money in these IRAs and they take them out early.
You're not kidding.
And they don't realize the expense of that.
And we got a caller here. We
Go
have
ahead,
to take,
take
it.
That call.
Hey, caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Joe. Thank you for taking my call. Hi, Tom.
Hey, very good. Guess what? Tom is playing hooky today, so we got Connie.
Connie's the producer, and Vince is here as the CPA.
Yeah, but I'll tell Tom you called.
Don't forget, it's important.
You hear that, okay, Connie? So, I'm passing the buck to Connie. She's going to tell him. Okay.
Very good. I have never heard your show, I'm sorry to say, but I don't live in this area. I live in Polk County in Florida, and I'm driving down to Miami to work, and I heard your show. Very intriguing, I'm shocked at how much I'm learning.
Don't we love you? We love you. Listen, how much do I owe you for this now?
We didn't even put you up to this. That's pretty good.
What, you have to pay for the dogs? $30,000?
Yes, isn't that terrible?
Yeah, I'll take 30. That's fine.
I know.
So, I have a question. I went through a horrible deal with my father about 5 years ago when he passed away. Only about a week before he passed away, we found out that he had signed his house over to his girlfriend.
Oh, boy.
My mother had passed about 20 years ago. So we just started grasping at straws, trying to find somebody to help us figure this out. It ended up he did sign it to three of his daughters, me and my two sisters, about 2 days before he passed away.
Wow.
So when I realized how hard that was and freaked out, I thought, I need to figure out something so that my kids get my house,
right,
not a new husband or a boyfriend, or I'm not married, so I'm thinking,
yes,
oh my gosh,
we understand,
anybody can just take it away from me. So I didn't get any professional help, but I tried to go in and ask how I could do this into the homestead office,
right,
and they said you have to. Well, they really couldn't tell me. Really. They can't tell you how to fill out the paperwork or anything like that. But I said, I want the house to go to my children when I die, is what I want.
Had you homesteaded it?
Yes.
Well, see,
it's
then
always been homesteaded.
See, and right then it's not subject to probate right at that point. Normally a homestead can pass automatically to the children. And very often they aren't going to tell you that inside the courthouse because that's not their job. But that's normally all there is to it. And let me tell you, we're running out of time, but we got a whole minute, Connie. You just keep talking there. I'm listening.
We got 1 minute, caller. Go.
Well, that's what it was. I'm just, the only other thing is when I get the paperwork in I put in my taxes so I can pay them quarterly.
Right,
so
yes.
So that I don't get hit with the, you know, and they're very, very inexpensive where I live, but it comes in the mail as my name and my son's name. But supposedly he's not on the house until I die.
As long as it's your homestead, you don't add him on as an owner until you die, and that's perfect. That's exactly the way it should be done. And I'm giving you a categorical statement because under 99.9% of the time, I think I'm right. So, but anytime you want us to take a look at that a little harder, understand in our group, and nobody's going to charge you to talk to you on the phone and see if we can get it. But here's what's happening. We got 10 seconds left. Connie's jumping up and down, starting to panic over here to get rid of us. Thank you so much for calling. And do us a favor. Listen to us again next week and call in again.
And you can stay on the line, caller, if you're not finished.
Thank you so much.
I will stay on the line.
Okay, hang on there, and we'll get with you.
Okay, great.
Are you all done with me, Connie?
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-229-0114.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm